This is HPR episode 2366 entitled, Making Bramble Jelly, and is part of the series, Cooking. It is hosted by Tony Cusack at Tony H1212, and is about 11 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, this is a show on making bramble jelly.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio listeners. This is Tony Hughes in Blackpool in the UK. Good to be back for another show. It's that time of the year when I turn my hand to foraging and making jelly from local wild blackberries or brambles, whatever you want to call them. The season started early this year here in the UK, so I've already produced over 60 jars of bramble jelly this year, with more to come. Thankfully, I have people who donate old jam jars for reuse during the year, which I store for this very time. So I've not had any problems with jars for storage of the jelly once it's been made yet. First off, on an issue of hygiene, before filling all the jars, they've been delabeled, and on the day of production, they're given another wash in hot soapy water, rinsed. To clean off the soap, and placed in the oven and cooked for at least 15 minutes at 150 degrees centigrade, which is about 300 Fahrenheit, to give them a sterilisation. I also put all the lids into a pan with water and bring these to the boil, and then keep them at a high temperature until just before use for exactly the same reason. So all the lids and the jars are sterilised at least once, generally a couple of times. So in making the jelly, the first thing I do is, once I've got the collected fruit, it gets a wash to remove any bits of debris and any wildlife that might be hiding in it. Some people say wash in a little bit of a saline solution, but I just use fresh water, and that seems to do the trick. Put away the fruit, and just to give me an idea how much fruit I've got, and put it in the pan with about 50 mils of water for each kilo of fruit. Give it a mash with a vegetable masher, and add a lemon for each kilo of and a half of fruit. This is for the acidity and the pectin that you get out of the pith. So I cut the lemons in half, throw them in the pan, and bring all the fruit to the boil to break it down. You can add, I sometimes find wild plums, so you can add other fruit. Plums are particularly rich in pectin, so sometimes if I've got a source of wild plums, I'll add about 10% of the mix of plums, so that can also give a pectin rich juice. But generally, if I haven't got access to plums, it's lemons. Once the fruit's boiled down and broken down, to leave it to cool a bit, remove the lemon skins and make sure you scrape out all the pith from the inside of the skin to get all that nice pectin. And then put that in the pot. Once you've done this, the fruit needs to be strained. You might want to bring it back, just warm it up a bit, because that thins it out a little bit to help you strain it. But you can do it from cold. You can use professionals would use a jelly bag. I tend to just use a very fine strainer and I'm not worried about it not being dead clear and see through, so I actually use something to push the juice through the strainer to get the juice out. But if you're going to do it properly and you want a nice clear jelly, then you get a jelly bag. I'm sure you can go on the internet and find sources of jelly bags, and you pile all the mixture into a jelly bag over a big pan and leave it for as long as 12-18 hours for all the juice to come out. And then once you've got this, the juice, you can reduce the juice by about a third just to concentrate it a little bit. You then measure the remaining juice to calculate how much sugar you're going to need to make the jelly. I use the equivalent of 1 kilo of sugar to about each litre of juice, or if you're in US, it'd be 1 pound of sugar for a US pint of juice. Basically, the weight of the liquid is about the same weight as the sugar that you're putting in. Now, find a pan big enough that when you put the juice, and once the sugar's added, the liquid will only come up to about halfway, because once the juice starts boiling, it expands, and you don't want it boiling over on your stove. Bring the juice back up to the boil, and at this stage add the sugar, stirring until the sugar's dissolved. This cools down the liquid again, so you've got to, once you've got all the sugar in and dissolved, you're going to have to continue to heat it and bring it back up to the boil. At this stage you need to keep the juice boiling until it's come up to jam temperature, which is around about 105 degrees C or 220 Fahrenheit. If you have one, you can use a jam thermometer, but I don't, so I use a mixture of visual clues, and that is when the boiling, you get a rolling boil with lots and lots of small bubbles on the surface. And I also keep a plate in the freezer to test the jelly as it cooks. Once you've got it up to jam temperature, cook it for about 10 to 15 minutes and then do your first test to see if you've got a setting point. And like I say, you put a small blob of the jelly onto a cold plate that you've had in the freezer. Leave it for about a minute and then run one of your fingers through it to create a little gap in between the juice as you go. And if it wrinkles up at the end and the juice that's on either side of where you've created the gap doesn't roll in to kind of fill the gap up, you're pretty well where you've got up to setting point. If the juice starts to come in to close that gap and it doesn't quite wrinkle up nice and go quite high at the end, then carry on boiling for another 5 minutes and repeat it until you've got a setting point. So at each stage after the 5 minutes, test it again. If it's ready, then you can switch it off. If not, another 5 minutes. So once you've got up to a setting point, remove the pan from the heat and allow it to cool for about 10 minutes. During this time you can get your lids ready. I drain the lids from the hot water and I lay them out on a clean towel with the inside of the lid upwards so that it's not being contaminated by anything that's on the towel. And if you're using preserving, I use lids, jars and lids that are from store-bought jams and chutneys and things, and these tend to have the little pop-up seal in them. But if you're using preserving jars, just follow the instructions on how to sterilise them and what to do when you're putting them on and sealing in the jelly. As it's jelly, you don't need a fancy jam funnel, as it pours really well from a jug. Just ensure that you've got a jug that's clean and dry, as the heat from the jelly will still be quite high, it'll ensure that it's sterile when you're using it. But if you're paranoid about infection, just sterilise it and make sure it's a heatproof jug and sterilise it in the same way as you'd prepare the jars for putting the jelly in. So all that remains now is to remove a few jars from the oven at a time, fill with the jelly liquid, and give the pan a stir before you fill the jug, so that you get all the pectin evenly distributed in the jelly and you've not got some thin juice and some thick juice. Put the lids on the jars as soon as you've filled them up, ensuring that they're on fairly tightly. You'll need to have some kind of heatproof glove or something as you tighten them, because the jars will be very hot. If you've used store-bought jars and lids, then you'll possibly have the little security pop-up thing that once the jar's open, it pops up and you can feel a bounce on it. Now, this will still be bouncing when you first put it on, but as the jelly cools, that will pop down, and that shows that you've got a good seal on the jar and that your jelly's good to store for quite a while. I've had jellies and jams and chutneys that I've made that last well over a couple of years, and with certain things like chutneys, the longer you store them, the more mature they get and the better the taste is. So once you've filled your jars, put the lids on, place the jars somewhere to cool, and then once they've cooled, you can label up with a date of you made it and what it is, and you're set to enjoy your own homemade jelly until it runs out. Or, as I do, because I make so much, I give some of it away as homemade gifts to friends and family. Obviously, this is just my experience of making jelly or jams. If you want more info about this, there's loads and loads of YouTube videos out there, so just go onto YouTube and have a look. So good luck with making your own jelly. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.